afternoon, everybody. Okay, so today we're going to try to finish up the siman. We'll see if we get to the very end. We probably will. Gvina Sakum and Chena Sakum. That's what's left. We already discussed Chalav Akum. So just as a quick reminder of the Metzius, milk in general has four components to it. If you were to break down milk into its parts, so there is water, which is obviously the bulk of it, is water. There's fat. There's right the milk fat. There's whey, which is a protein, and there's lactose or sugar. So when you let milk stand, what will ultimately happen is that the sweet cream will rise to the top. Our milk is homogenized, so nothing will happen. Meaning the cream does not rise to the top. It's made in a way that the fat's not going to separate from the rest of the liquid, but the cream, meaning the fat, is going to rise to the top. The cream is going to on unhomogenized milk would rise to the top. And then what happens if you skim off that milk fat from the top, you get, come on, this is an easy one. If you skim off that milk, that fat from the top, you get skim milk, right? So that's so if you take the cream from the top and then you start beating it, you'll get some type of whipped cream, not the kind that you get in the can that's actually delicious, because that's made with chemicals. Nothing that God makes can be that delicious, right? That's made with pure chemicals, in the can. But if you churn it longer, I didn't mean to say happy courses just now. I was just joking. That was, I guess happy courses is not a funny joke. If you churn it longer, it turns into butter by collecting the different pieces, chunks of butter and butter fat and putting it together. To make butter, nothing really needs to be added. You just have to churn the fat. So unlike cheese, in order to make cheese, you need to add something. Rennet needs to be added in order to make cheese. Milk from a trefa animal is naturally homogenized, meaning if you have a milk from a behemoth mea, the metzius is that it's never going to rise. The fat's never going to rise to the top. You can't. It's naturally homogenized. The fats never separate, and that's why you can't make butter from a trefa animal. Meaning, if you have butter, it's always from a kosher animal. It's always from a cow because you can't make butter out of milk from a trefa animal. So that's why mikra din. There's no din of chalav akum by butter because it's not shaykh for it to be chalav akum. It's not shaykh for it to be chalav behemah tameya. With cheese, you take the fat and you add rennet in order for the separation of the curd, in order to allow for the separation of the curds and the whey, and those curds are cheese. The curds that would naturally separate without the rennet would be cottage cheese, meaning if you leave your milk out for a long time, you know, you go away for the summer and you come back at the end, whoops, you know, there's still milk in the fridge, so that's cottage cheese that you have left there. So you just empty it from your milk bottle into the cottage cheese container, and then you're good. It's no longer disgusting. So don't try that. But that's the that's how cottage cheese is made. Meaning to make cottage cheese, you don't actually have to add rennet. That's why cottage cheese isn't really cheese. They pass the curds and the whey through a cheesecloth, meaning once in order to make cheese. And the whey goes through and the curds stay behind and ultimately harden, and over the time, depending on which bacteria they use, it could taste different. So that's how they make cheese, by passing it through a cheesecloth. The liquid all goes through, the curds stay behind, and then they manipulate it in whatever way in order to make all sorts of delicious cheeses, if you're into that. Meaning it is delicious for people who are into that, who like cheese. Not personally my thing, but that's cheese making in a nutshell. Meaning that's what you can do with milk. Now, based on that, let's go back to the sugya of Gvinas Akum. So the Mishnah Daf Chav Tesam Beis tells us about the sugya of Gvinas Akum, and then you have a sugya on Lamed Hayam and Aleph. Beis Yossi points out over here that goes through the potential reasons for the Yisur of Gvina Sakum. So the Yisur of Gvina is already mentioned on Daf Chav Tes. What's on Daf Chav Tes? Wait a second. Daf Lamed Hay is where we have the Dvarim that are Asr, but any Yisur and Yisur Ana. Dvarim that are only Asr Ba'achila and not Asr Ba'ana. Daf Chav Tes was what? In Avod Zara, those are that Mishnah was the Dvarim Asurim, the Yisur and Yisur Ana, right? Those are the things that actually are Yisur Hana'a. Because there is a type of rennet that comes from Avod Zara. So that's how it snuck its way back into Daf Chav Tes. Because if you have rennet of Avodah Zarah, so then you're dealing with the discussion of Yisurei Hana'a. The curdled milk in the fourth stomach is keva. That's what we call keva. And the animals of Avodah Zarah might produce a cheese That's likewise asur bahana. So the Mishnah had a machlokas about this. And the Mishnah says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shal Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yeshua, K'shay Mahalchin Baderech. Sounds like a story. They were walking and they asked the following shayla. Amar lo, they ma'asu gvinos of the kachavim. Amar lo, they shamidinos of the kevah shal nevela. Amar lo, v'alo kevah sa'ola chamura mi kevah nevela. Kevah sa'ola is even more chamur. Amru, kohen shaday to yofa sorfa chaya. V'lo hodulam. Meaning, they knew that there was a gezeira, but they didn't know the reason for the gezeira. So they knew that there was some isser of gvinas akum, but they were still trying to explore, like, what could the reason be? So they suggested it's made with kevas nevela, which would make it asr midaraisa. But since it's only chashash that it was made with kevas nevela, it's only midrabanan. That on a daraisa level, you don't have to be choshesh that it's made with kevas nevela, midrabanan, you do have to be choshesh that it's made with kevas nevela. Alternatively, maybe it's batal on a daraisa level. Even if it were made with kevas nevela, midrabanan, we don't rely on that bitl. And the Mishnah says that the keva of an ola is more chamur, and nevertheless, a kohen who's daito yafa. Daito yafa means a kohen who's not easily scared can sorfo chaya. Sorfo means he can swallow it raw, and even the chachamim who disagree say that it's asur bahana, but it's not subject to mi'ila, meaning whenever you say something is asur bahana, something that's kodesh is asur bahana, but not subject to mi'ila, what's that code word for? Asur bahana, but not mi'ila means an isra hana midrabanan, right? If we're an isra hana midaraisa, it would be subject to mi'ila. So it means an isra hana midrabanan. So apparently then, the keva is not the same as the animal itself. And the Mishnah then changes its mind and says that the problem is not kevas nevela, the problem is kevas avodah zarah. So kevas nevela is not nevela, that's because it's not considered meat of the animal. So it's not going to be considered nevela. But kevas avodah zarah is still avodah zarah because the status of avodah zarah is not dependent on being meat. The status of nevela is dependent on being meat. So kevas nevela, you can say, it's just the keva, it's not the meat of the animal. Mele, it's not nevela. But when it comes to kevas avodah zarah, it's still going to be avodah zarah because it's definitely part of the avodah zarah animal. Because every part of the animal that makes it look more robust is going, whether it's meat or not, it's all part of the avodah zarah. Then the Mishnah changes the topic to discuss the pronunciation of the pasuk of Kitovim Dodech Miyayin or Dodayich Miyayin, right, which is also strange, and the Gemara has a whole discussion about that. That's a weird twist at the end of the Mishnah that all of a sudden it starts talking about how to pronounce the words in the pasuk. So then the Gemara in Daf Lamed Hey discusses more reasons why it might be Asur, and says that initially Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to say that the reason is because of Gezeira Chadasha, and we'd rather not say that it's a new Gezeira. In fact, the Rabbit says that sometimes they would lie about the reason, and that's what Asmachta means, meaning the reason that Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to say the reason, meaning Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to say the actual reason because it was a brand new Gezeira, it was a Gezeira Chadasha, and by Gezeira Chadasha you don't want to give reasons. Why do you not want to give reasons by Gezeira Chadasha? You make a new Gezeira, you're going to tell everyone the reason, and everyone's going to say, come on, that's not really such a concern, I'm not so worried about that. You know, you're going to tell rabbis say things all the time, and if you explain why something is not appropriate, why something is not good, you know, you can't eat at that restaurant because I'm not convinced that the Bedikas Toloyim is good enough, let's say. So they're going to say, come on, bugs, what are the chances that there are bugs? What are the chances that there's an infestation? I just want to order the lettuce, whatever, you know, whatever it is, they'll come up and they'll ultimately ignore the gzeira. So they try to hide the reasons for the gzeira, and that's, you know, as we've discussed in the past, that's the famous Ravid in Hilchos Mamrim, where when the Rambam says how it's Nisra Baltosif to claim that Nisra Darabanan is really Nisra Daraisa, the Rabbi says, what are you talking about? Chazal do it all the time. It's called Asmachta. Every time they quote a pasuk on Nisra Darabanan and they say that it's Asmachta Bialma, it's because Chazal initially claimed that it was Nisra Daraisa, and they showed a pasuk for it when it was really Nisra Darabanan, and they were just trying to trick us. And why were they trying to trick us? Because they wanted us to accept the Gzeira. And then once the Gzeira takes, gets a strong footing, then there's nothing you can do about it. Now it's already a Gzeira, so then it's already stuck, then it's already, the Rav HaTzibur has followed it. Okay, fine. The reasons ultimately given for the Issur of Gvinas Akum, there are six reasons. If you look through the Sugya, it turns out there are six reasons given for Gvinas Akum. Not all of them are quoted by the Tur in over here in Simkuf Tezvav. How many are not quoted by the Torah? Of the six reasons, three and three. Three the Torah quotes, three the Torah does not quote. So, for example, not for example, let's go through all six. Rabbi Shoban Levi, and Gemara says the reason of Nikur, which is Gilui, right? That the concern is that that it, like Maya Magulin is Asr, that a snake is going to put its venom in it, it's going to be dangerous. So you're going to have that issue with the Gvina Sakum. The Torah does not quote that. Probably, well, what's the simplest explanation why the Torah doesn't quote that one? Why wouldn't it quote Gilui? Because we're not concerned with it anymore, right? Just like Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Maya Magulin. So we're not concerned because we don't have so many snakes around. So, you know, your first concern when you see water that was, you know, when you see, let's say, someone left a water bottle out, open on the kitchen table or on the counter all day and all night. So your first thought is, why did they leave it out like that? It could have spilled, right? That's your concern. Your concern is not maybe a snake came and, you know, put some poison in there and it's going to be dangerous and that sort of, because we're not concerned about those things. That doesn't happen anymore. So it's the simplest reason why the Torah doesn't quote, because nowadays there's no chashash giloy. The Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Tes Zayin says that explicitly. The achshav she'ein nechash metzuyin beinenu mutar. That nowadays there's no nechash metzuyin, so it's not going to be a problem. Anyway, the Gemara rejects that reason, right? The Gemara itself rejects that reason, because if that were true, then dried up or aged cheese should be mutter, because the venom would prevent it from aging or from drying properly. Meaning, I don't know the metzius of this, but apparently, once you introduce snake venom into the cheese making process, you don't get the really good aged dry cheeses, you know, the crumbly dry cheeses that you would otherwise get, I guess, right? So that's what the Gemara assumes. Amazingly, though, Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam that we pass in this way. I mean, even though the Gemara had a kasha, and even the Gemara seemed to reject it, Tosfos quotes Shitas Rabbeinu Tam that we pass in the Gribi Shulman Levi, and therefore, since we don't have snakes nowadays, you don't have to worry about Gvina Sakum anymore. Meaning, if that's the real reason, if the real reason is Mishum Gilui, it's a huge kula, because it's a way of saying that if we pass him like what the Shulchan Aruch says in Kuf Tes Zayin, then we don't have any concerns anymore. So that's Aleph. That's reason number one. Not even quoted by the Torah is one of the reasons. If it were the reason, like Rabbeinu Tam holds, it would turn out that it wouldn't be a problem anymore. Reason number two, Rabbi Chanina. E'ef shalah belo tzichtzuche chalav. The concern is that there's some non-kosher milk in the cheese. Even though it doesn't curdle, so having non-kosher milk is not helpful in any way for cheese making, but it will get caught in between the little cracks. So Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? Why would they use non-kosher milk for cheese making? They know full well that it doesn't curdle, and if they know that it doesn't curdle, why in the world would they use it? So Tosfos says, that must be why people disagree with Rabbi Chanina. Meaning we have six shittos, so that must be what the other five shittos say. Otherwise, Rabbi Chanina makes a lot of sense. Elamai, it must be that the other five don't agree with Rabbi Chanina, because there was no motivation to use any chalav beima tamea in the cheese making process. But the Torah does quote Rabbi Chanina that the concern of tzichtzuche chalav. Then you have the sheet of Shmuel, ma'amidino sa ba'or kevas nevela. Ba'or kevas nevela. This is a little different than what the Mishnah suggested, right? The Mishnah suggested was kevas nevela. This is about the or kevas nevela. The Gemara elaborates, kevas nevela is not nevela, but the or kevas nevela is actually nevela. So there's a Mishnah in Chulin that seems to suggest that kevas nevela is nevela, but the Gemara says the Mishnah in Chulin is only before the conversation. In our Mishnah, fine, and therefore kevas nevela is not nevela, but or kevas nevela is nevela, and that's the problem. Since our kevas nevela is real nevela, so ma'amidino, so with nevela, so nevela is a ma'amid in this, so there's going to be a problem. And that's the reason it's quoted over here in Shulchan Aruch and Sefeis, Gvinos of the Chav Asram Nei, Shema'amidino, so ba'or kevas shchitasam shehi nevela. That since they were ma'amidit, or there's a chashash that they're ma'amid ba'or kevas nevela. Now what's this kevas nevela and or kevas nevela? What are they? Metzius? What's the or and what's the kevas? Right. I mean, they both have the enzymes that are necessary for cheese making, but the keva is the contents of that stomach. The or kevas nevela is the actual stomach, right? I think it's the fourth stomach of the animal that has the keva inside of it, and that keva possesses the enzymes that are helpful in cheese making, but the actual stomach itself also possesses the enzymes that are helpful in cheese making. You can get the enzymes also from plant sources, right? That's why now when we make cheese, We don't use, we use neither kevas nevela nor or kevas nevela. In fact, Gabe Gross was kind enough to bring me a bottle of rennet last week. So if anyone wants to see rennet, I have in my fridge in my office. Although I did not refrigerate it over the weekend while I wasn't here, and I didn't come to yeshiva yesterday, so I don't know what its shelf life is. So, but it, now I put it in the fridge. So it went like 96 hours outside of the fridge, probably. Because, but anyway, so if we want to have like a, you know, class cheese making project, we could try that at some point. Not tasting because we can't take off the mess, but we could have a class cheese making thing. Okay. Anyway, so that is that's the shita of Shmuel, and that's the reason that's quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. Then you have Ravad Bar Ava, machlik in panel of Shuman Chazi. They shine the surface of the cheese with chazer schmaltz, with fat from a chazi. So Ben Atam says you shouldn't pass them this way because Ravad Bar Ava was from an earlier generation and Hilchasa Basra. But the Gemara never really rejects that answer, meaning, when you have multiple answers, Rabbi Natan says, "Mistama, we passing like the latest Amora, because Hilchasa Kevasra, right? At a certain point, we decided Hilchasa Kevasra. It's that's the kasha, right? That that on the one hand we say Ein Alacha Ketalmid B'Makom Harav, the Gemara says Ein Alacha Ketalmid B'Makom Harav, and on the other hand Hilchasa Kevasra. So what do you mean?
How can, here.
How can it be? You want to Simon mute him? Come here. So on the one hand we say Hilchasa Kevasra, on the other hand Ein Alacha Ketalmid B'Makom Harav. So what's the answer? When did that change? Rav and Abaye, right? At that point, that's when it changed. Okay, so we follow Hilchasa Kevasra, even though we do believe in Yerida Sadaros. It's the theory of the midget standing on the shoulders of giants, right? That the even though later generations are smaller, but they're standing on the shoulders of giants. They see everything that happened beforehand, so they know everything that was said before. That's the riff at the end of Erev in terms of why we pass like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. Even though in Eretz Yisrael, some of them had more siyata d'shmaya in their learning, because they were learning in the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, right? Like the Netziv writes in the Sakdama to the Perish on the Sheiltos, that learning in with kedusha of Eretz Yisrael gives a person a tremendous amount of siyata d'shmaya. So why are we passing like the Bavli against Yerushalmi? So says the Rif, because the Bavli came later. So Mestam, everything in the Bavli, they already knew everything that it said in the Yerushalmi, and they formulated their own opinions anyway. Okay, whether that's historically accurate or not is not our conversation for right now. But bottom line is, even though Ravad Bar Ava is not rejected in the Gemara, Rabbi Natan says that we shouldn't pass in this way. So what's his reason? The machlik in paneha b'shum el chazi. I remember Rabbi Yisrael Kavnesky told me once years ago when he was, before he even moved to Pesei, let alone before he moved to the Five Towns, when he was first teaching in MTA, so he was living in an apartment in Teaneck, and Rav Chaim Ilson came to his apartment for Shabbos. I guess he needed a place to stay in Teaneck, and so he was so nervous about, like, first of all, he was a young kollel, I mean, he was a young Rebbe in MTA at the time, like, he wasn't what he is now. And Rav Chaim Ilson was coming, and you know, Rav Chaim Ilson has like a lot of chumas, so like he's like a real brisker. So he figured like he's got to do like super kosher. Everything's got to be. So he offered Rav Chaim Ilson an apple. Right? He figured this you can't go wrong. It's not from Israel, right? It's not like it's you can't go wrong. Rav Chaim Ilson said to me, took the apple, he said, "Is it true that they shmir chazer schmaltz and the apples in America?" So that was it. He couldn't even offer him an apple. I hope not. I have no idea. But that apparently was something that they used to do with cheese. Then there's Rav Chista. Rav Chista is not quoted by the Torah. That mamidin also bechametz, that they would use a wine vinegar to be mamidin, and the reason it's not quoted by the Torah is because the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says if they really use the wine vinegar, then it should be asr b'hanah also, and it's not asr b'hanah, so therefore that shita is rejected. And then the sixth reason, also not quoted by the Torah, that Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said mamidin also b'sraf orla, that they would use the sap of orla trees. There's a machlokas rishonim whether there's a revayin chutzlaretz, but arlas chutzlaretz is definitely true, right? Arlas chutzlaretz, Gemara tells us halacha l'moshe Mishnah tells us halacha l'moshe Mishnah, machlokas whether there's ravai, right? That's the famous lamdas, right? The machlokas whether there's ravai of arla is whether the Reb Chaim writes whether the halacha. Let's start with this. Arla is a mitzvah tuliyah ba'aretz. So pashtus is it should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, right? And for the first 3 years, any fruits that grow from the tree are going to be asur v'ana. They're going to have a status of arla. Whatever grows the fourth year has a din of ravai. Ravai has the same status as ma'aser sheni. So you have to. You can eat it, but you got to eat it in Yerushalayim. Arla is asubana, Revai, you're allowed to eat, but you can only eat in Yerushalayim. So comes along the Alach L'Moshe Nisina and says, Arla applies in Chutz La'aretz also. That Arla is not only a din in Eretz Yisrael, even though it's a mitzvah tzliya ba'aretz, it applies in Chutz La'aretz also. Me Alach L'Moshe Nisina, not from the Pesukim, but from Alach L'Moshe Nisina. So there is a machlokas Rishonim, whether Revai applies in Chutz La'aretz also. Meaning, do you just say Arla the first 3 years and that's it? Or do you say that, no, the whole system, the whole process of the maturation of a tree is that the first 3 years is Arla and the fourth year is Revai, that applies in Chutz La'aretz. So that's what Reb Chaim explains, that the machlokas, whether Revai applies in Chutz La'aretz, is based on the two understandings or the two ways, the two formats that we have of halacha l'moshe misinai. Sometimes you have halacha l'moshe misinai, that's a halacha mifareshes, and sometimes a halacha mechadeshes. For example, shiurim chatzitzin mechitzin is halacha l'moshe misinai. So take shiurim, for example. What does it mean, shiurim are halacha l'moshe misinai? The Torah tells me I'm not allowed to, I don't know, pick something that has a shiur.
Mikvah.
What?
Mikvah.
Okay. The Torah tells me that I have to dip in a mikvah, or the Torah tells me that I'm not allowed to eat nevela, let's say. So it comes along Halacha L'Moshe Misinai and tells me, oh, there's a shear for all these things. That Isra Achila is a shear because the mikvahs are by himself, right? You have a shear for all these things. But that halacha is not mechadesh, it's just mefarashas. It's explaining that din that appears in the Torah and providing the context and the details. Sometimes you have halacha mechadeshes. What would be an example of halacha mechadeshes? There's no remez or anything to it in the Torah. Maybe a remez, but there's no nothing in the Torah. There's nothing from the Midrash HaTorah judgment that you'd be able to derive this halacha from the Torah at all. And the halacha L'Moshe Misinai introduces the halacha. Where do you have that? So you have Nisach HaMayim, Chibut HaRava, right? These kinds of things. It doesn't say in the Torah. Right, it doesn't say in the Torah, but halacha l'moshe misinai that you have this new din. Halacha mechadashas. So that's what Chaim explains. When it comes to Arlas Chutz La'aretz, how do you understand it? Is it that halacha l'moshe misinai says, you know, the din that the Torah says about Arla, that applies even in Chutz La'aretz? That would be halacha mefreshes. We're taking the din that already exists and we're transferring it to Chutz La'aretz also. Oh, that applies even in Chutz La'aretz. If that's the case, then with all of its details, with Revai as well, it should apply in Chutz La'aretz. But if you assume that the halacha l'moshe misinai of Arlas Chutz La'aretz is halacha mechadeshes, it's not taking an existing din that's in the Torah and just telling me that we're expanding its application. It's making a brand new din called Arla, called Arlas Chutz La'aretz. So brand new din called Arlas Chutz La'aretz, but it never told me a brand new din of Revai Chutz La'aretz. So then it would only apply to Arla, not to Revai. But be that as it may, the Mamid Nosa Bistraf Arla, whether it be Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz, that was the concern, that they would use sap of Arla trees. Right? I mean, that's why it's even a concern in Chutz La'aretz, because it is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that Arla is a problem in Chutz La'aretz also, right? So the Gemara rejects that, because then it should be Aser Bahana. The din of Arla is that it's Aser Bahana, it's not only Aser Ba'achila. So that one's also not quoted in the Torah. So the ones that the Torah didn't quote, are the last two that were rejected by the Gemara, and the first one, which the Gemara didn't, which the Gemara rejected also, about the Giloy, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbeinu Tam thought was the Ikar reason. What's the one that the Shulchan Aruch quotes? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the one about Namidinos Ba'arkevas Nevela, the Shita of Shmuel. Okay, now, Nafkamina. Nafkaminas might be, which part of the process does the Jew have to see? Right? Does the Jew have to see the initial curdling of the cheese? Or does the Jew need to see the finishing process of the cheese? Meaning, let's say, for example, the concern is that machlik nasa b'shum chazi. So I don't care. I don't need to see the cheese making. Once the cheese is, already taking form, then I need to make sure that nothing happens to it afterwards, that they're not rubbing chas v'shmaltz on it afterwards. But the concern only begins then. Whereas if the concern is about a maimid, that they're maimid bar kevas nevela, so then I have to be there at the shas that they're introducing the maimid. I have to know what the maimid is. I have to know what type of rennet they're using. That's what the Jew has to be involved in. Another nafkamina might be like cottage cheese, soft cheeses. They don't need any rennet. So if the concern is about the rennet, so then soft cheeses, you have no concern. But if the concern is not about the rennet, it's about something else. It's about, and particularly, if the concern is about nikor or giloy, that the snake is going to put its venom in it, so soft cheeses, it's an even greater concern, l'chavah. Although nowadays, we wouldn't be concerned about that anyway. In Mipnine Arav, Rav Shachter said that Rav Soloveitchik would eat Kraft cheese, or would say it's not Kvinas Akum, but at the Maria Shul, when he gave his shir, he said it's Asir. And they said, but Rebbe, everyone in yeshiva, it's mutter, and in Maria, it's asr. Why is that? So he said that there are things that are halacha vein marim kein. That sometimes you tell people things are mutter, you tell baal batim that it's mutter, they'll be making with hard cheese also. So they're going to say, gavina is not really an issue. But no, it's not that gavina is not an issue. Gavina is defined by halacha as hard cheese, not by what it says on the package. Soft cheese is not really gavina. Rav Soloveitchik said that Rashi in Tainus and Daf Yud Gimel says not to be mefarsim an idea, and then why was Rashi mefarsim it? Meaning Rashi writes it and it says, but don't be mefarsim. So don't write it if you don't want to be mefarsim. You're Rashi. People are gonna. That's a very big lack of confidence in your book if you're gonna write it and say not to be mefarsim. You think nobody's gonna read it? It's Rashi, so it must mean that you could be mefarsim to people who couldn't read Rashi letters. Right, if a person is able to learn, so then you can be mefarsing to Bnei Torah. You shouldn't be mefarsing to the Hamon Am. Yeah. And
you're just assuming that cottage cheese is part of the Zivinasakum?
No, that it's not. Meaning, I'm not assuming anything. Salvation seems to assume it's not. Right, if it was, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat the crab cheese.
I thought Rabbi was saying before that an afkamina between the Hashashos and the institution of Vinasakum would be soft cheese. That assumes it's part of the Xera, but assuming that.
Right, meaning how to define cheese might be part of one of the nafkaminas.
So, I mean, maybe wasn't addressing that issue of how to define cheese.
I think it could be one of the nafkaminas.
Okay.
So if the nafkamina, if the tam that Shulchan Aruch gives is correct, ma'amid nos sabar kevus nevel, then soft cheese l'chora should not be included in the stomach. That's sort of salvation.
But meaning that question only gets off the ground if it's part of the zayir. If it was never part of the zayir, then you just have to assess the mitzias. Whether or not there's a
Hashash. Right. But why wouldn't it be part of the Gezeira? Right. And obviously, the Nafkamina is what we said before. Does it still apply nowadays? If the primary reason is Gila, like Rabbi Natan says, then it won't apply nowadays. There were places that were known to be Mekah like this, but we generally no longer follow that Minhag, Rama quotes, right? Now, fundamentally, though, if the Shulchan Aruch is we accept what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that the reason that we accept is Ma'amid Nosa Ba'ar Keva Shkitasam, why isn't Hamad Ba'ar Keva problem of Basar B'chalav, even without Nevela? And also, why isn't it Batal B'shishi? Meaning, even if it is Nevela, why isn't it Batal? Meaning, to say that the concern is that it's Ma'amid Nosa Ba'ar Keva Nevela assumes that had it not been Ar Keva Nevela, it would have been okay. Why would it have been okay? If it was Arkeva Shchuta, it would have been okay? Isn't that Basa B'chalav? And it also implies that because of the concern that maybe there were Mamid Barakeva Snevela, that implies that if you know there were Mamid Barakeva Snevela, it would be a problem even on a Daraisa level. Both of those are problematic. It shouldn't be a problem on a Daraisa level because it should be Basa B'shishim. And if it's going to be a problem, it should be a problem even Barakeva Shchuta because it should be Basa B'chalav. So both of those are problems. So the Rishonim already raised these issues. So Tosos in Avod Zar Lamed Hem Ralph answers the first question in terms of Basar B'chalav. He says that it's all cold. So it's only Yasa Mishum Basar B'chalav Nidrabanan will not be Basar B'chalav on a Doraisa level because Lo Sevashal Derek Bishal Lo Sevashal is not Derek Bishal. The Taz over here quotes a Rimi Gash in Sivkat and Taz who answers both questions. He says it would be Batal B'shishim because Basar B'chalav depends on Tam. But over here it's a maimit, so it's not batal mishum nevela. Meaning, as far as basa b'chalav, derech bishul asvatara. Derech bishul asvatara means that it's no sin tam. So if it's no sin tam, then it will be a problem. But over here it's not no sin tam, and therefore I'm not going to be worried about basar b'chalav. But I will be worried if it's nevela, because it's not going to be batel since it's a davar chashuv, since it's a maimon. Meaning, as we've discussed earlier, when we learned basar b'chalav, there's a big difference between being mevatel basar b'chalav versus being mevatel shari surim. When you're mevatel shari surim, it has to be that you've taken away the impact of the shari surim. When it comes to basar b'chalav, it's all about tam. It's derech bishlas v'torah, so therefore it would only be if it's no sin tam, even if it's having an impact. But it's not no sin tam, it's not going to be a basar b'chalav issue. Then the Taz quotes the Ravid, who answers only the other question, not the basar b'chalav question, and he says there's no bitul barov b'machalei akum. So Nedbi Yehuda writes that we hold like the Rimagash, that there is bittul b'machalei akum, so not like the Ravid. Now, Rishonim then try to apply all of this.
Where's the Nedbi Yehuda?
Nedbi Yehuda is in Tinyanasim and Nun Vav. Tinyanasim and Nun Vav. The Rishonim apply this to our cheeses nowadays. Tosos Lamed Hayam Ralph Divan Chaduk Tani says that, it, like we said before, B'Shem Rabbein Tam, there's no reason for it to be us nowadays. And he goes through the different reasons, not only how Rabbein Tam passes. He says the last two answers are rejected by the Gemara. Okay, so that's meaning we have six potential reasons that it should be us, right? So if I want to say that it's Mutter, I'm going to have to show why none of those reasons are going to apply. So Tosos says the last two are rejected by the Gemara. So that's right off the bat, that's off the table. Then we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi against Shmuel, meaning given the option of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi or Shmuel, you're going to paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi against Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Ma'amid no sabar keves nevela," so we'll knock out Shmuel. And as far as Rav Ada bar Ava, who said machlikin panel b'shumul chazir, there were two Rav Ada bar Avas, Tosos says. And this is the earlier of Ada bar Ava, so we're not going to paskin like him, because the only reason to paskin like Ada bar Ava is Hilchusuk Basra. But there are two of Ada bar Avas, is the earlier of Ada bar Ava, so therefore it's not going to be Hilchusuk Basra. Rav Shachter was commenting in that Musar Shmuz he gave recently that when you go through a Masechta, you should have, you don't have to do every single Tosus first time around. You should have someone who already learned the Masechta identify the important Tosus that have the Yesodos, and they'll tell you which ones to do, which is a good shtick. You know, go over to someone and say, "You ever learned Bava Kamma?" And they'll say, "Yeah, I learned Bava Kamma three times." And they'll say, "Okay, show me which Tosus you know the Yesodos." You know, the person will freeze. Just because the person learned Bava Kamma doesn't mean he's going to be able to tell you which one of the Yesodos to Tosus. But like I'm sure just assumes, yeah, someone who learned it before, you know, Daf Yomi or whatever, who can tell you which are the important Tosus. But as an example of what's not an important Tosus, Rav Shachter said, like, you know, when Tosus says they're Trey Rav Ada bar Ava, so the, you know, there are two people by the same name. Okay, so you don't need to know that there are two people. But over here, it's really Chamsa Nafkamina. Because if it's the later Rav Ada bar Ava, then Hilchusuk Basra. But if it's the earlier Rav Ada bar Ava, then you're not going to say Hilchusuk Basra. So over here, that example doesn't work. Rabbi Chanina is illogical, meaning Tosfos points out, Yev shalom below tzichtzuch echalav, what kind of stupid guy is going to put non-kosher milk in his cheese? It's the worst thing for cheese making. It doesn't curdle. So you don't have to worry about tzichtzuch echalav. And that leaves us with Nikur, but you don't have to worry about that either, because there are no snakes anymore. And therefore, with that, we've gotten rid of all six reasons. Kvina zakum zmutter. Dovashav minyan. You need minyan achla tiro. So Tosfos says, no, you can't say davar shav minyan, because they definitely weren't gozer in places without snakes. Meaning, if the real reason was Nikur, which Tosfos says it was, so they were only gozer in places that had snakes. I don't know, snakes are, if Chazal were gozer in the jungles of Africa, it doesn't mean that they were gozer in, I don't know, where do snakes not live? In cold climates, snakes don't live? I don't see too many snakes around here, right? So they weren't gozer in New York. They weren't gozer in Russia. They weren't gozer in places where there aren't snakes. So that's how Tosfos learns off. Beis Yosef quotes a smack that this is not like Mayim Megulim. Mayim Megulim has no other reason. If we were to be Megulim in places without snakes, people would be Megulim in places with snakes, because most people won't realize that the only reason for the Yisr is Gidli, and they'll think we paskin like one of the other reasons, and to be makel everywhere. Meaning the Smach says it's all a psychology game over here. Meaning, what's the only reason why water could ever be aser? There's nothing wrong with water. The only reason it could ever be aser is because of giloys, because of a snake. So I'll realize that if I'm in, Siberia, and you're telling me the water is mutter, there is no water, it's all ice, right? There are no snakes, it's not shaykh that is snake. So I'll understand that my water is mutter because it's not shaykh that there are snakes. But when you tell me Gvina Sakam Zasa, because Chazal hid from us the reason or whatever, there was so much mystery around the reason of Gvina Sakam, not everyone's going to realize that the reason is Mishum. Even if the reason is Mishum Gilei, not everyone's going to know the reason is Mishum Gilei. And because not everybody knows the reason is Mishum Gilei, when you're Makil on them in cold climates, I'm guessing that snakes don't live in cold climates. You could Google it and tell me I'm wrong, and Gabe's not here, so I don't know. But he's just better not bring me a snake tomorrow. if you're gonna be Makil in cold climates, then people will think, oh, apparently there's no issue of Gvina Sakam at all. They're not going to realize that in warm climates where they are in the jungles of Africa, that you need to be machmir. That's how the Beis Yosef quotes from the Smach. So it's on a technicality that even though it's Mishum Mayim Megulim, it's not the same as Mayim Megulim, that we still would have to be machmir. Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba that it's a Davar Shebeminyan. What Tosa said at the end, that can't be. Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba is that it's a Davar Shebeminyan. They were goes there everywhere, and even when no concern exists, it's therefore going to be aser. The kula of that would be that it doesn't apply to cheese of Mechal Shabbos Beparesia, because he wasn't included in the original Gezeira. And then you have the Rambam.
How does it be?
I think Beis Yosef writes that, doesn't he?
Why would you do the same way?
Meaning, if it's Davar Shebeminyan, you only have to be loyal to the Lashon of the Gzeira. So the Lashon of the Gzeira is Gvina Sakim. You have to be loyal to the time of the Gzeira.
Even if, let's say, Pasakim and Bishalakim also have books that are relevant to people who may not have Chasvas, like the Prima Gadol who is Machmir for, let's say, Pas Karoyim, even though Karoyim are Jews and there's no Chasvas.
I don't know. Pas Karaim, so you want to tell me that Gvinas Karaim is
also... I don't know, I'm just saying, I just want to wipe, wherever the Lahuda from to assume,
I thought the Beis Yosef said it. It could be wrong. Check it out for me. Let me know. I thought the Beis Yosef said it, but I could be wrong. Right. It could be that I was just thinking that that since the whole point is not you're not being loyal to any reason, you're just being loyal to a gezeira. So the lashon of the gezeira is going to be the determining factor, as opposed to when you're trying to be loyal to a reason for the gezeira. Then there's the Rambam. The Rambam in the third paragraph of Machlokes Surah Salachi Yadala. The Rambam quotes Gvina Shema again. Machlokes Surah Gimel Yadala. Gvina Shema Midinosa Haakum Ba'asavim. Obme peros kagon strafa te'enim v'arein yikarin begvina horu miktsas agonim sheyasura shekvara gazru al kol gvina sakum bein shemidua bedavar aser bein shemidua bedavar amutur gzer mishum shemidin osa bedavar aser, that it's aser because of gzera gzera that they're mamidin bedavar aser. And even if you know that they were mamid b'davar amutar, which is what the Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, right? That mipnei shamin v'asam bar kevesh chidas v'shin nevela v'afilu hamidu abasavim, it's still going to be asir. The Kesav Mishnah points out that the Rambam doesn't quote anyone who argues. Must be that the Rambam holds that that's the ikar reason. That's the only reason. The Kesav Mishnah in over there writes gvina shamin v'asam akum basavim. Horu mitzas ha-ga'onim she-yasura, meaning the Rambam quotes this from Horu mitzas ha-ga'onim. So where's the part where the Rambam pipes up and says Vani Omer, or other say or whatever? No, he only quotes what Horu mitzas ha-ga'onim. This is Mashma Shekachi Das Rabbeinu. That even though he's only quoting Horu mitzas ha-ga'onim, says Kesmisha, sounds like he holds that way. Shem Lokein, Havli Lahavi Devrei Chol Kemalev. Otherwise, he should have quoted those who disagree. So it must be that even if you ma'amid ba'asavim, that's included in the Gzeira. Even if you know that they used asavim. Magen Mishnah says that the Rambam must be based on the idea of davar sheb minyan. Once it's a gzeira, it's a gzeira. Now, what are we paskin? So again, Shulchan Aruch, very clear what we paskin. And therefore, even if you know it's about a sudden. Is there any room to be makel? So, you know, Shulchan Aruch says what he says, that we're malchim here. Rambam writes, v'chein aminuk v'ein lefrotz geder. But then he qualifies a little bit. Imlo b'mokum shenogu b'am heter mikadmonim. So it gives you a little bit of room. That if there's a place that had a minhag to be makel, you know, they have an old minhag, you could be makel. So where does this leave us with things that don't require any rennet? Cottage cheese, cream cheese. And then we also have to get into, like, what does the Jew need to see exactly? I mean, if this is the concern, then Ma'amid and Asa, does the Jew need to just see? Does the Jew need to do? What exactly is the Jew's role in the process? Let's say one thing at a time. Cottage cheese, Rav Moshe, Nigus Moshe, Yerdeichel, Vesem, Memchas, discusses cottage cheese. He spells out cottage cheese, you know, or cottage cheese. I think he didn't realize that's cottage, not cottage. So he says that there's room to be makel because it's not minded of anything. And there's no concern for tzuchi chalav if you allow for chalav companies. So that's not going to be a problem, right? Like we said before, the Miller's cheese is a little bit cheaper than the Ha'olam cheese because Ha'olam cheese uses chalav Yisrael to make the Gvinas Yisrael. Miller's cheese is Gvinas Yisrael, but it uses chalav companies to make the Gvinas Yisrael. So there's room to argue that if you don't need rennet, it's just simply not the finest cheese, and it's never included in the gzeira. So Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva to Rav Shimon Schwab, and he says that if a Jew knows that they use vegetable rennet, then it's obviously mutter. Cottage cheese curdles from just time and heat, and are nothing like real cheeses, but they do actually use rennet because no one has that kind of time on their hands. Meaning, it wasn't included in the gzeira because they didn't really need to use rennet to make cottage cheese. One doesn't need to use rennet to make cottage cheese. So if you have hashkacha and cottage cheese, and you know that only vegetable rennet, you know, the kind that's in my office fridge right now, only that came into the, I hope, came into the to the factory, then you're okay. And Rav Moshe concludes the tshuva to Rav Schwab as follows: Lamakilin b'chalav companies shalol lahachshav l'chalav akum. For those who are making the chalav companies, it's not chalav akum. Biarti shadin not the kain. And I've already explained that. That's the halacha, that the din is like that. Harei ein bu tzuchei chalav asin. So there's no tzuchei chalav ta'aser, and therefore there's not going to be a reason to be machler. We're going to be maker. Come makom lemaisa eini omer b'zeh heted, but lemaisa I don't say any heted. Aval gam eini malchah b'makilin, but I also don't get upset at people who are maker. Me'achshesh tam leheted v'milsa drabanan. There's a good svara to be maker, and it's a din drabanan. V'gam hayish go'onim sheituru legamri. He says, people are going to ask you a shayla, you're going to tell them an answer, they're not going to listen, so you don't have to answer it for them. Mutav shiyushogin, alav farsim shiyush, makom lahatir vada yinam in aroy. So Moshe says, you know, you should take a moderate approach to this. He says, I'm not sure. He says, there's a good svara to say that it's mutter. I would prefer to be machmir. So I don't think it's appropriate to go take an advertisement out that Kraft cheese is mutter. That you can go and have cottage cheese, you know, that's chalav, that's gvina sakum. Meaning that's not gvina sakum, it's gvina sakum is fine, but that's made by non-Jews. But I don't think you have to make a big deal about it if it's cottage cheese. In Yerudei Chelakal of Simen Nun, at the very end of the tshuva, Rav Moshe discusses cream cheese. And he says, there's a svar to be makel, a svar to be machmir. He says, I don't tell people what to do. So the tzad that it's like butter, and there's a tzad that it's like cheese, right? Because the difference between cheese and butter is whether you add rennet. Cream cheese is made with a combination of cream and milk and is slightly firmed by introducing lactic acid. So they add something, but it's not rennet. So you could see why cream cheese might be somewhere in between, right? Butter, you add nothing. Cheese, you add rennet. Cream cheese, lactic acid. So what's that? The less expensive brands of cream cheese will add stabilizers, but purists, you know, cream cheese purists, there is such a thing, such people feel that, which it's not healthy to be one of these kinds of people that are like so into your food. Someone pointed out to me recently that with all of the blogging and the fighting back and forth about it, where I come from, where the Vada Kashrus is like in all the news now, that you know that the biggest fighters are the foodies. That the foodies are the ones that are fighting the hardest, because food matters so much to them. You know, like that's not a healthy thing. But anyway, if the purists feel that stabilizer is like cheating, you know, you can't have stabilizer in your cream cheese. That's cheating the system. So they make like really geschmack crumbly cream cheese that spoils in like 5 minutes. You know, that's the way it should be. You know, but if you get whatever Philadelphia cream cheese or something like that, so that has stabilizer. Yes.
What's the svara to be macher cream cheese if you don't need rennet to make it?
So the question is it dafka rennet or is it something that's maimed? So when you don't know what that maimed could be, so they use a lactic acid to be maimed. That would be the svara. It's a hard svara to understand, but that's the svara. In Chalkos Binyamin in the Biurim on page Kufman Vav, he says, you know, there's yesh lod, and all soft cheeses use a maimed nowadays. They have some sort of maimed in every soft cheese nowadays. No one waits, right? Unless you're the purists that you know that do this in the old-fashioned way. Sour cream. What about sour cream? How do you make sour cream? So. So sour cream is made from milk and it introduces cultures. Same with yogurt. So it has the same denim as milk and it's not at all like cheese or butter. They require a hechsher, but if you're not makbid on Chol Yisrael, there's no need to be makbid on Chol Yisrael sour cream or Chol Yisrael yogurt, right? Meaning it's not, you don't have the issue of gvina when it comes to sour cream and yogurt. Okay, so now I want to have gvinas Yisrael. I don't want to have gvinas Akum. So I'm a Jew, there's a company that calls me in, they want to make gvinas Yisrael. What does the Jew need to do? So the Ramah, writes that right over here, v'meisol roa asiyas hagvinos v'hachaliva muter v'chein amin v'pashim v'cham dinos eli. That if the Jew sees the making of the cheese and the milking, then it's muter. V'imra asiyas hagvinos v'lora hachaliva yesh lahat v'diyavid k'im lach Hashem yirub al davetam me'ach shas hagvinos v'nachala. He says, and if you see only the cheese making but not the milking, but they were milking it to make cheese. This is in Wisconsin, right? It's not in New Jersey. So it's clear they're milking it to make cheese. So they're not fools. They're not going to milk trefa animals and try to make cheese out of it. Ki davar tamei ein omed ubevad elu yirbo v'chavim me'ach shedai talasos gvinos. So b'di'evit you could be making. Mikal makom asol echol hachol of kach. But still, as milk, you can't have it that way. But once it's turned into cheese, you don't have to worry about the chalav akum in the cheese, even b'di'evet, but you would not be allowed to drink it as milk in that way because it's still chalav akum. So essentially, what does Yisrael need to do? Do nothing. He just needs to see, right? That's all the Rama says. Yisrael roa asiyas hagvinos v'chaliva. Just roa.
At which point does the Jew need to start?
So he said, asiyas hagvinos probably means, based on what he passes like the Shulchan Aruch, that you have to see when the rennet is added.
So only...
I don't know
I don't know the cheese process.
That's the whole thing, is adding rennet, right?
Oh, okay.
So he has to see when the rennet is added. That's what I'm... it's a little difficult, because Gemara never mentioned that watching helps for cheese, right? When we spoke about chalav, we said, chalav shechal bo'akav vein yisrael ro'eil. But by cheese didn't say. If it's svara, then when you watch, you know that all was done okay. Then he should say the same for all yediya below the ear, even if you just know that he was maimed ba'asadim, right? Meaning, the Gemara never said that a Jew watching helps over here. So what's a Jew watching? A Jew watching means a Jew knows. So if a Jew knows, then that's all you should need. If you know that they were maimed ba'asadim, then that should be good enough, right? And yet the Mechaber said that's not good enough. So you need the Jew there. You can't just have a yediya. Meaning you can't have a cheese hakompanies, a gavinos hakompanies, according to the Ramah. But why not? Right? The Gemara never said anything about Ro'ehu. The Ramah introduced this idea of Ro'ehu. So that's why the Shach in Sifkat and Chav says that a Jew seeing it does not help for gavinos hakom, just for chalav hakom, like the Gemara said. The Jew has to actually put the rennet into the milk, at least the starter culture. He says, "Vada in the chalik bin roi yisrael asiyas hagvinos alo." You can't make a distinction whether he saw or didn't. Kibet sha'asur chacham hagvinos alo b'chavim kol agvinos asru. Da'afilu amidu ba'asavim asru mishum lo plug. Even when they're mamid ba'asavim, it's asru. It's a gemara. It wasn't the mechaber that made it up. Im kein hu adin ra'a sha'asa novid chavim. Even if you saw a guy made it, but a guy made it. Ha'inu d'mas nisen. Paragam amidin t'an stomach vinos ovid chavim asurin. That's why bechalav it says dafka roehu v'misol roehu muter. Alma the begvinos ein chalav ben rasiyas begvinos alo says the shach. By gvinos is no difference if you see or not. V'chein kalapos kum kasu stama v'lo chilku begvinos k'mo shechilku bechalav ovid chavim melavad begvinos ovid chavim bechal inyan asurim v'chein b'tshuvas maimini and others. Me'olam lori isi likach vinos avichavim afilu ra'a achal mishchal avichavim quotes from the chuvus from the chuvus of the Olim Rishonim v'chem chuvus from Aaron Wurttemberg so much shenayin talim v'gvinos shemel avichavim v'mayim yisrael d'bayi d'lavid yisrael ma'isa she'yosim yisrael ha'keva l'toch ha'chal of yes actually do a ma'isa v'chule v'chule. Okay, so what are we passing? Our mother is the shach, so the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Osi Yates we should be machmir for the shach l'chadchila. He writes, "Hagros is going to yidal pasuk kashach, yesh lachmir l'chatchila, that you saw sheyosim achol v'tolcha keva, all the tolcha yoru, b'diavad ein lasak even shorov agdol miskivu lahetem purushkin v'arambam b'dok." But myshal the yikra din is to be mekel. However, I think all the kashrus agencies are machmir. I think all the kashrus agencies are machmir like the shach. The OU policy is to be machmir like the shach and require the mashkiach to put the rennet into the milk to make the cheese. The OU document on the topic, which I think we sent out, reads, the mashkiach in one factory finds that the pail containing the rennet is quite heavy and wants to know if the non-Jew can help. It was a shayla that came up. It's a heavy pail that they need to dump into all that cheese because they're making a lot of cheese. So I'm afraid that we will have a situation of mesayeya ein bo mamish, and we'd like to know if this is acceptable. Rabelsky said that if the Jew was unable to lift the pail by himself, then it would be an example of Messiah in Bo Mamish, since the Jew was Eino Yachol. If the Jew couldn't do it, so then he's just helping along, so that's not called that he's actually putting it in. He also noted that allowing the Jew and non-Jew to lift the pail together would open a Pandora's box of problems in determining if the Jew is Yachol or Eino Yachol in each case. Then what are you going to do? You're going to test him tomorrow and see, wait, were you Yachol? I don't know if I was Yachol. It was just so heavy. I didn't try my hardest. I just tried to lift it. It was hard. So I asked the guy to give me a hand. Well, can you do it? So the Jew's going to say, give me a week. And he'll go to the gym and work out. And then he'll come back. It's going to be impossible. It's a Pandora's box. Therefore, he suggested that the company put the remnant into more than one pail so that the Jew could lift each pail on his own. And you need Rabelsky to come up with this. Put it into smaller things and put it in. Okay. The Shach writes that if the milk belongs to a Jew, there's no problem with Pinasachim. You just need regular supervision to make sure he didn't put anything non-kosher in. Since this supervision isn't about Gzeidos Kavina, you don't need to see if you know that it's kosher. Okay. The Ramah then says that if the milk is milk not for drinking, just for cheese, we saw this Ramah, right? Then there is no Issur Chalavakim because they would never want to mix in non-kosher milk. We saw that Ramah. Fine. The fact is, though, that the cheese companies pay for the fat content of the milk. Meaning, when they're paying, you might think, well, it does benefit him to stick in some chalav tamid, because if I'm selling milk to a cheese company, meaning I'm a milk farmer in Wisconsin, and I'm selling milk to a cheese company, so I want to get paid as much as I can, right? So if I know that a certain percentage could be chalav behemah tamea, and it won't be noticed in the cheese making, it will get caught in the cracks. So I make sticky chalav behemah tamea that I have around there to help out. But if you're only going to be paid for the fat content, you're not paid for all the milk, then you have no benefit in doing that, right? Because the chalav behemah tamea is self-homogenized. So the fat is not going to rise to the top anyway. So the fact that cheese companies pay for the fat content of the milk fulfills the criteria what the Shach writes in Chav Gimel. Shach says, "V'davka shekoni menuschum kvinos olafia mishkal the meyach of the chalav tamei I mean, if they're paying based on volume, then you could have a problem. But if they're paying based on Mishkan, the Taz in Sukkot Yonah disagrees with Rama and says, "Al kenyan leni saiti shein lachol gamizeb ein latvim kenyan yisol etzal chalibel fi dasa ramam besud akaz beisosu d'gamachshav yechesu man yom mishum gilu in Rabbeinu Tam kama shetakti b'som kshev smak." He says, "Wait a second, I'm still worried about Giloy. You're going to tell me that there is no Giloy, but remember the smack, that there's only not Giloy by water, there's still Giloy." So he brings back that smack that the Beis Yosef quoted and said, "We still have to be worried about Giloy," says the Taz. At the end of the day, we're making on Cholava companies anyway. I mean, they'll use making on Cholava companies anyway. And as far as cheese making, so they do require their machmir like the shachlet, the Jew has to put it in. And as we said, when it comes to butter, Shulchan Aruch and Sif Gimel says butter is technically mutter, right? Let's just take a quick look. Hachem Mishal Chavim Ein Mochel Anshei Makom Shon Gomel Hetiv Vim Robin Ha Makom Nogim Yisr Ein Lishanus Makom Shein Minag Im Bishal Ad Shal Chut Tzuk Tzuk Echol And Muteres, right? It's technically mutter, so you should follow the minag of wherever you are, and even places that there is no minag, if you cook out any droplets of milk, it's then going to be mutter. Okay, so that's it for Kuf Tes Vav. What will we do next? Should we vote on what we do next? Hagolas Kalim next. Yeah? Okay. Yeah? No? Something else? Tvilas Kalim? Should we do Tvila before Hagolas? What? What?
I said to get our feet wet.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Tvilas Kalim? Join! Yeah? Vote? Should we take a vote?
We'll do one after the other anyway.
Okay. Tevilas Kalim it is. Okay. No one else cares. Okay. So, Tevilas Kalim.